I'm so encouraged. My name is Dale. I think I'm supposed to start with that. I'm Dale. I help lead Vertical, and I'm encouraged that you're here on a Monday night at 9 p.m. when one of the best basketball teams in the country is playing. And y'all didn't know. This girl up here didn't know. She just said it out loud. And that's okay. I forgive you because you're in a good spot. And let's go. Let's get after it. We are continuing a series called The Pursuit of Happiness. We're in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. If you brought your Bible, that's where we're going to be. And the reason why we're looking at the pursuit of happiness is because what we've decided is that everyone wants to be happy, right? That's just deep within each and every one of us. And so we actually get to look to the scriptures to where Jesus actually talks about happiness. And he uses this word blessed, which means it's like a vibe of happiness, a happiness that continues. And if you've been here a few weeks, then it's a what vibe? Golden retriever vibe, right? It's this thing that lasts. It's a happiness that's not momentary. It lasts. And blessed in the Latin is like beatus or some word that I don't know how to say, but that's why they call it the Beatitudes, okay? So we're finishing up the Beatitudes tonight. Matthew 5, starting in verse 9. Jesus speaking to his disciples. There's a crowd there listening, and these are the last of the Beatitudes. Jesus says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so tonight, we're going to look at just two things. It's a coin. It's two sides to the same coin. The first is blessed are the peacemakers, and the next is blessed are the persecuted. So peacemakers and persecuted. Those are the two P's we're going to look at tonight. It's going to be fairly simple, straight from the text. We're going to start with the first point, the first side of the coin, which is peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. I want you to think about that. Like, golden retriever vibes are the people that make peace. Happy are the peacemakers. Which always brings the question. This is all we've been doing this whole series is like, what does this word mean? How do we apply it? What is this? What's a peacemaker? It's somebody who brings peace. As we've seen in Merciful, it's not just the easygoing person. It's not the Enneagram 9. Anybody Enneagram 9? You are a peacemaker. That is your personality. This is different. This is not personality. This is character trait. This is people who make peace. And if you've been with us, you know I've been quoting this guy named Martin Lloyd-Jones. This old guy, he's dead. He wrote an awesome book, right? This is what Martin Lloyd-Jones says is a peacemaker. Passively, they're not quarrelsome. Like, they're not trying to pick fights. Actively, a peacemaker is somebody who pursues peace. And lastly, and ultimately, a peacemaker is somebody who pursues peace between other men and women and God. That's something we sometimes miss. That's what a peacemaker is. And so what does this mean for you and me? Like, you're like, okay, passively, I don't pick fights, right? Like, okay, I think I can leave here and not pick fights. Here's what it really means. Like, a peacemaker doesn't leave here and go gossip about their friends. A peacemaker doesn't have rivals even that they actually hate. You know that organization that when you play them, you're like, we're going to kill them. And that's probably beyond fun rivalry, and that's crossed the line to quarrelsome, not a peacemaker. Those are the people you talk trash about when they're not there. It's kind of the same thing as gossip. So a peacemaker doesn't gossip, it doesn't have rivals, it doesn't judge others. As you walk into your classroom and you look around based on appearance or based on what somebody says in a classroom or their bumper sticker on the back of their car, or who they voted for, right? Peacemakers don't judge based on those things. And I'd even say the last thing is like peacemakers don't create drama. I think drama can be divisive. Drama can be selfish. It's about us. In short, listen to this. I hate what I'm about to say. Let me just tell you that. In short, a peacemaker can keep their thoughts to themselves. Like somebody who makes peace, like when I'm making peace, that means I'm biting my tongue sometimes. Because I sometimes have stupid opinions that do not matter. Let's talk about gossip just as an example of a way that we create division and quarrels and all these different things. And when it comes to gossip, I think gossip isn't peaceful. It's not making peace. And we'll give an example. Let's just say Chad cheated on his girlfriend. Did y'all hear about Chad cheating on his girlfriend? Sorry if your name's Chad. Chad cheated on his girlfriend. Dude's a jerk. Total jerk. What an idiot, right? That's gossip. And this is just an example. So if you're Chad, we love you. We're so glad that you came to Vertical tonight. All are welcome, even though you cheated. So even if this is true, that Chad actually did cheat, it's not for us to talk about unless we're going to be a part of the solution. Like if you're going to go to Chad and be like, bro, I heard this. This is not information for me to know, but you're my friend. Here's what you need to do. You need to go to apologize, and you're not getting back together because obviously you're not in the right mind to be in a relationship, but you're my friend, and this is what we're going to do. That's what somebody that makes peace does. Says, hey, I'm going to help you move forward. This conflict needs to be resolved. And the resolution doesn't mean it's going to work out in the relationship. It just means that Chad needs to apologize. And you stop the gossip in that moment. And the reason why I think gossip is divisive and quarrelsome and really even not for Christians is because gossip is labeling people as their sin. And so Chad's a cheater. That's why gossip is the opposite of the gospel of Jesus. Gossip is contrary to the gospel. I don't want to be labeled as my sin. I want to be forgiven by what Jesus Christ has done for me. Praise God. Thank goodness that we are not labeled by our sin. And so as we hear gossip or as we want to say gossip, a gossip can keep their thoughts to themselves. That's how we passively make peace. We don't create division or all sorts of other things. But a peacemaker doesn't just passively create peace, they also actively resolve conflict. They're humble, they take responsibility for failures, they help others be at peace with God. For example, Chad, see Chad. Or here's a really good example. If you're in the kitchen, one of your roommates, you know, makes a comment with a terrible tone about your outfit that you didn't appreciate, right? And you leave that room and you're like, I hate my roommate, right? That's probably not what you think. You're probably just thinking like, what a jerk. She's such a, you know, whatever. I'll keep my thoughts to myself, right? That's what you want to say. You're so frustrated. You're like, not only did she say that about my jeans not looking good, but did you hear her tone? And you're talking to yourself. You're not even talking. You're like looking at the mirror, talking to yourself, right? Like it's a very real thing. And you leave and you just are bitter. And you hold on to the bitterness. What a peacemaker does is they go to that roommate and they say, hey, what you said really hurt me. And I've been holding it against you for 5 minutes, 5 months, or 5 years, however long it is. And will you forgive me? Because I've really thought differently of you and I've really treated you differently because of this. And it's just been it's created something in my heart that's just not right. And so will you forgive me? So you're clearly saying, hey, this is what hurt me, and I'm not going to hold it against you. You are creating and making peace with one another. Actively and passively, we make peace. And then what does the text say? Happy are the people that make peace, for they shall be called sons of God. They should be called children of God. And this is a beautiful thing. Like this, if just hang with me, because this is amazing. Christians, upon salvation, like when you believe in Jesus, that means we're adopted as sons and daughters. That's our identity. That is who we are. Romans 8 talks about this. We're adopted as sons and daughters. But you see, our sin has separated us from the Father, right? Not just separated, like alienated. There's nothing we can do to get back to the Father. That's what has happened. We were separated from the Father, impossible to fix. But Jesus, he makes peace. He's a peacemaker. He makes peace by the blood on the cross so that we can now be at peace with the Father and become adopted children of God. And once we're adopted, once I'm like, hey, you are a son and daughter of God the Father. Just think of your own earthly father. Is there anything you can do to stop being a son or daughter? No. Even if you disobey again, it may break the relationship between you and your father, but he's always going to be your father. The same is true with God. Like when we sin, we go right back to being apart from him. We have to confess our sins so we could be restored to him, right? That's the good news of the gospel. That no matter how far we run, no matter what we do, we're sons and daughters. And sons and daughters make peace. Why? Because it's who we are. And there's nowhere else we're meant to find identity. I want you to see this in the text. Blessed are the peacemakers. They are called sons and daughters of God. Like, do you really think about this? Like, do we grasp the fact that we're children of God? Like, we're sons and daughters of God the Father. Like, that gives us security. That gives us confidence. And that means we're not meant to find identity in anything else. Whatever's on your shirt, you don't find identity in that. Whatever your GPA is, you don't find identity in that. Some of you are like, praise God, we don't find identity in that thing, right? Failed that test today. Your beauty, your success, your relationships, your sexuality, your organization, your good works, your race, your hometown. Christ followers have their identity in one thing. It's in being adopted sons and daughters of God the Father. And he is a really, really good father. We see that this is actually a fulfillment of what Isaiah said Jesus would be. You see, Jesus made peace by the blood of the cross because Jesus was the Prince of Peace. See Isaiah 9:6. And we as disciples of Jesus, you're like, why should I make peace with people? Well, one, it makes life enjoyable. It gives you golden retriever vibes. Two, it helps you rightly live out the identity that we have as sons and daughters of the King. And three, that's what Jesus did. He made peace with other people. And we're disciples of Jesus. That's what we've been learning. He's teaching us how to follow him. And so we make peace just as he has made peace as the Prince of Peace. So we don't just make peace passively. We make peace actively just as Jesus did. But this is what happens when you become a peacemaker. And it gets us to the last point in the Sermon on the Mount. Is that when you make peace, you become a target. When you make peace, you become a target. Let's keep reading. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then let's stop for a second. Verse 11 and 12. Like, this is the end of the Beatitudes. Verse 11 and 12 is Jesus commenting on the last Beatitude. And this is what he says. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So the flip side of the coin of being a peacemaker is being persecuted. Like, this is the last of the Beatitudes. This is the last thing Jesus is like, yeah, my disciples are going to get persecuted. And if you really think about this, like, he's saying that happy are the people that are going to be persecuted. Like, this might be the craziest of all the things that Jesus has said thus far. The happy people are the people that are going to have opposition, like the ones that are thrown in jail, the ones that are killed, the ones that are bad-mouthed, the ones that get canceled, or I've heard the new thing is to get jailed. Is that what it's called? Anybody know? Jail? Never mind. Never mind. Trying to be cool. Fail. Y'all look it up. It's a thing. Let's get back to persecution. What is persecution? Happy are the people that are persecuted. Happy are the people that are opposed. Persecution is any form of opposition, physical, emotional, verbal, social, whatever it is. Yes, we think of persecution as just jail, killing, and abuse, but it can also be verbal, social, emotional, and obviously physical. But here's the deal. Jesus isn't saying, happy are the people that are persecuted, and they're persecuted for doing dumb things, right? You can get canceled for doing something dumb. Like, that's just reality these days. Like, that can happen. And that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. For righteousness' sake. What is righteousness' sake? It's not just you're persecuted for being a good person. No. You don't get persecuted for being good. It's being righteous. Righteousness is something that will condemn those around you when you choose to go to parties and not drink no matter your age. You're going to get persecuted. You're going to get made fun of. When you choose to never be alone at your house with your significant other to help with purity, your roommates, you think they're going to like that, but they're not going to like that because they don't do that. And so they're going to make fun of you for it. And it's okay. And lastly, you get kicked out of group texts, friends, friend groups, or whatever, because you won't participate. Whatever it is. Those are really, really tangible ways that you could be persecuted even now. And people won't like that. Why won't people like those things? Like, why will people be frustrated by that? People will be frustrated because you are different. And people won't like it when you're different. But that doesn't even make any sense. Like, if I'm making peace, then why will people persecute me? And here's what we're seeing. Like, peace obviously doesn't make you popular. Being a peacemaker does not make you popular. Peace makes you a target. And here's how I can prove this. Jesus was the greatest peacemaker to ever live. And this is what Isaiah 53 says about Jesus. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. And so when you make peace, you will be persecuted. You will have a target on your back for righteousness' sake. The greatest man who ever lived was persecuted, both by religious people, good people, and irreligious people. Think about that. He was killed by religious people. and sinners alike. That is what's given us an opportunity to be at peace with the Father. That's the gospel. And so, if we're persecuted, if we get made fun of for being a Christian, if we get canceled, if for righteousness' sake, if any of these things happen, like, don't feel bad or upset when you're persecuted. Consider it joy. That's what verse 12 tells us. Jesus is like, just rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven. They persecuted the prophets. Isaiah, who I just read from, persecuted. Everyone loves the book of Isaiah. It's like poetic and it feels like really cool to read and post on Instagram, right? And it's like, man, Isaiah was like persecuted and not that popular. Like, actually fairly unsuccessful if you think about his ministry. People ignored him. That's crazy. And so we rejoice. Jesus tells us to rejoice. And here's why we can rejoice. And here's why when people start throwing darts at us or shooting darts at us or shooting arrows at us because we have a target on our back. I forgot I brought a target. It's my target. I told you I live on a farm. This is the person that owns it. I don't own this target, but we have this target on our back, right? I'm not going to leave it there. That's uncomfortable. But this really is on your back. And when people start to shoot arrows at you, right? Like, they can just fall off. Why? Because they're blind. Like, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know any better. It's okay. Like, we were talking as a team, and I was trying to say, like, man, it's like when we're persecuted, we think, like, somebody opposes us, therefore we shouldn't do it. And I'm trying to say, like, we're opposed? Of course. Right? Like, at the end of the day, you believe that people that don't know Jesus are going to hell. Like, they're going to oppose that. And what happens is, you're like, this feels harsh, right? What happens is, even though they persecute you or oppose you, you love them. And you pursue them. Because that's what Christians do. They love their enemies. We're insane. People are shooting at you and you're going towards them, right? This is insanity. And that's what Christianity is. Why? That's what Jesus did. He's like, he even says on the cross, he asked that it wouldn't be held against them. That's beautiful. And so when we're persecuted, it makes sense. And it's okay. It ought to be a part of our lives. When you make peace, and really when you live out all the Beatitudes, you become a target. And so don't be surprised by persecution. You have this thing on your back. So in summary, as we close out the Sermon on the Mount, we're in it the whole spring on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Jesus is calling us to make peace and be persecuted. Two sides of the same coin. That's what it takes to be a Christ follower. And I want to take these last few minutes to kind of put a bow on the Beatitudes. Like, I want to actually ask a few questions that I think are really important, especially if you're here and you're like, I don't really care about Jesus, and now I definitely don't want to follow Jesus, because this dude is saying, I'm supposed to be opposed, and that's supposed to get me to want to follow Jesus. And here's the deal. There are a few questions I want us to think about. The first one is this. Why are peacemakers and persecuted people the happy people? Like, why are they the golden retriever vibe people? That's a valid question. That's a valid question. And here's why they're the happy people. Because disciples of Jesus find joy in following Jesus. They find joy in being like Jesus. And so we make peace just as Christ does. And we're persecuted just as Christ is. And here's another way to think about this. It's like we're at a Baylor basketball game, which we're not, clearly. But it'd be like if we were, and we knew who was gonna win the game. And the opposing team and their fans were like, "You guys stink, we hate you. What, you guys are the worst." And you're like, "No, I'm happy." Like, "You guys are silly. Let me love you," right? Silly. West Virginia, you guys are crazy. Let me show you God's love, right? That's who we're playing tonight, just for clarity. Anyways, and you're like, West Virginia? Anyways, right? Here's the deal. We're happy because we know what's real. We know the truth. We know how it ends. We know what's most important. We can invite them onto our team. We're like, the team is endless. You can be on our team. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Like, you're included. You don't have to be a tech fan anymore. Come join us. That's why we can be happy when we're persecuted. Like, we know how the game ends. And why does it feel like, I asked this question, which is slightly mean, but I told my team, I was like, why does this sermon feel so irrelevant? I'm like, this, y'all really wish the Bible said, blessed are those who wake up every morning and read their Bible and God will make it go well for them. Like, that's kind of what we wish this said. Like, we really, really wish it was like, just tell me what to do, give me some favor, and it'll all be good. Like, I'll obey that. I don't know why y'all are laughing. It almost feels irrelevant, and I think it felt irrelevant for the disciples. I think it feels irrelevant for us, but I actually think it's timeless. I think this sermon was all they needed, and I think this sermon is all we need. We don't need an engaging entertainer, preacher, whatever. Although that can be helpful, this is all we need. And in addition, the context is that Matthew was writing to the Jews. And the Jews wanted like a political government figure. They didn't want Jesus. So this just flipped their whole kingdom, their whole understanding. It was a whole reversal, it was a whole flip. It flipped it upside down. This isn't what they would have wanted, but it's what we needed. And the last two things I want to close with is, why am I a Christian and not being persecuted? It's a fair question. Because I would say that Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's the kingdom of heaven. They're Christians. Like, you could draw the line here and be like, well, if you're persecuted, then you're a Christian. Be like, yeah. And so some of you might need to ask that question. And here's my answer. And this one, everybody better lean in. If you're a Christian, but you're not persecuted, then you likely aren't sharing your faith. Or if you're a Christian and you're not persecuted, then you likely aren't speaking the truth. Which also just means you aren't doing what Jesus called you to do. That's what he has asked us to do. And the reason why I can back this up with the scripture, some of you are like, but I'm not persecuted yet. Well, okay, that's great. Maybe you don't realize that Jesus has sent you to go and make disciples of all nations. That means share your faith, tell other people, speak the truth in love, be filled with grace and truth, be filled with the Beatitudes, and move the kingdom forward. That's what you're called to do. And in the book of Matthew, Jesus sends the disciples. He says, I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves, and you will be hated up by all for my name's sake. So there's a correlation. when you realize that you're a missionary for Jesus, when you realize that every single one of you that claims to be a follower of Jesus has been sent by Jesus to Waco. Like he's calling you to be used by God. He's saying, hey, I'm gonna use you. You're sent. I'm gonna send you to Waco. That's why you're in Waco. Once you realize that calling that Jesus has given you, then you'll be persecuted. And it'll be okay. It'll be so fun, actually, because I actually think you'll see and realize there's a lot of people on this campus that don't actually know Jesus, and they want to. And you get to help them. God, through you, is going to use you so that more people would know Jesus. So my challenge this week is for every single one of you that claims to be a Christian to share your faith. Here's how you do it. There's a bunch of churches in town that use the same stuff. I was taught the same stuff. Do you have a faith? Have you ever considered? That's all it takes. Can I share my story of what Jesus has done for me? Every single one of you. That's my challenge to you this week. No exceptions. You're like, you want me to go up to a rando on Fountain Mall tomorrow? I mean, you gonna make me one of those crazy people? Maybe it's a rando. Maybe it's your roommate. Maybe it's the person you've been sitting next to for the last 2 weeks in class that you haven't talked to yet. I don't care who it is. It's one of those. Go make disciples of all nations. You will find great joy in living out what God has called us to do. And your rightful next question is, why should I share my faith if I'm going to get persecuted then? And here's the beauty of all the disciples and everyone that wrote a gospel, everyone that wrote the New Testament, is they showed us that Jesus is worth dying for. And you're like, that feels crazy. Here's the deal. If Jesus showed up today and spoke to us and did miracles and did signs and wonders, and what would we do? We'd go and tell everyone about him, and then we'd write it all down so that other people could hear about it. And then it would get passed down over generations to generation so they would know what we got to see, because we are witnesses of what Jesus has done. That's the New Testament. And it wasn't fake. Some of you are like, well, I'm not sure if the Bible's reliable. Well, everyone that wrote the Bible in the New Testament was killed for it. So it must be true. Or they're all insane. You could say that they're all liars, they're all lunatics, or Jesus Christ is actually Lord. Share our faith. And that's why it's okay to be persecuted. It'd be worth dying for. It's certainly worth getting canceled. Or a little bit of social persecution. Do it winsomely, spirit-filled, with grace, and love them. When they persecute you, love them. Pursue them, love them, persecute you more, love them. That's how this crew is going to change the world. When we start living according to the calling that Jesus has given us. We've been sent to Waco, and one day you're going to leave Waco. You're going to be sent somewhere else, and he's going to want you to do it there too.